Okay, thank you. First thing we'll take up here will be the deer allocation, and Tony, you're going to
Good morning.
Things on that.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Tony Life, Director of the Wildlife Division, again with me, Kevin Roebling, Special Projects Coordinator. I see you nibbling on a few things. That wasn't in a Ziploc bag that was handed out earlier.
Yes. I got one right here. It's very good.
We had the opportunity to visit with Commissioner Olson, Commissioner Phillips yesterday after we concluded the meeting to try to get a bit of a handle on the ideas that were out there. We fleshed those out, put those onto paper, set those on your in front of your seat here this morning. Hopefully you had a chance to take a look at those. We're gonna go through those in some more detail here. Kevin did put a few slides together to try to present some of the additional information that you sought from us yesterday. It hopefully lays the framework for you to be able to make a good decision this morning on how to move forward on this issue. But before we get to that, I guess I'd like to make one introduction of an item that we need to make sure is really clear as we go forward here. It was a couple weeks ago I was visiting with a member of Governor-elect Noem's transition team, who's not a deer hunter, but has paid attention to this particular issue. And he said, you know, when I first heard of it, when I first looked at it, it seemed to me like it was a deal where the department was telling deer hunters what licenses they get. And that's because of the terminology that we are using to describe this. It's a deer license allocation. Now, when you think of an allocation, you think of allocating, of someone giving out particular items or whatever you're allocating. And in reality, this is not about the commission or the department allocating those licenses to hunters. We allocate opportunity is what we attempt to do. And then hunters choose which opportunities to take advantage of. So some of the terminology that we're going to use this morning is hopefully going to help us shift to help those out there understand what exactly these potential changes are. And so instead of talking about deer license allocation, we're going to try to talk more about deer hunters' preferred choice and emphasize the preferred choice element of this, which again is the primary goal of the proposed changes, is to get more deer hunters their preferred license year in, year out. So again, you see it on the slide up here that Kevin's going to be talking about, deer hunters' preferred choice, and some of the changes that we discussed yesterday, and see if we maybe come close to what you're hoping for this morning.
Thank you, Tony. Kevin Roebling here, Special Projects Coordinator with Game Fish and Parks. I just wanted to cover, I believe, 10 slides here of some of the data that was requested to take a look at and kind of emphasize once again some of these numbers you've seen in the past. Some of these numbers are going to be new numbers pertaining to non-resident leftover licenses, along with some youth draw statistics from the 2017 draw. So again, we have 52,130 deer hunters that applied for a deer license last year, 2017. That number in 2018 is very, very similar. 35,706, 68.5% applied for only one of those four seasons. So the vast majority of our deer hunters in this state apply for just one of the four seasons here we're talking about today. 16,424, I bet I said that number probably 102,000, I don't know, a couple thousand times in the last 18 months, but that is the number that this really does impact. Those 16,424 deer hunters that apply for two or more of the four seasons in a given year of the 52,130. So those are the folks, those 16,424, the folks that essentially, if you look at making them choose a preferred choice, they would be giving something up because they'd have one choice instead of two, three, four choices in the first draw. I went over this yesterday, but again, those 16,424 deer hunters, they're submitting about 38,000 applications. So if those 16,424 deer hunters then had to make a choice, 21,520 applications would come out of those four draw buckets for those four seasons. Some real quick current draw success. In 2017, 3,318 of the 16,424 applicants that applied for two-plus seasons actually drew two-plus first-draw, first-choice licenses, 20% of them. 256, 2% of the 3,716 applicants that applied for three-plus seasons actually drew three-plus first-draw, first-choice licenses. So even though you can apply for three or more licenses as a deer hunter, your chances aren't very good to draw three or more of those licenses. Only 256 people did so, 2%. In 2017, 8,146, or 50% of the 16,424 applicants that applied for two or more seasons, drew only one license. And 29% didn't draw any first choice, first draw license at all. So then again, you know, we're looking at a 30% rate of those folks that applied for two or more licenses were unsuccessful. So they sat on the sidelines as well, even though they submitted a couple applications. How many residents applied for both an East River deer and a West River deer license in 2017? About 6,500, 6,485. And of that, 1,987 of those folks were actually successful at drawing both an East River and a West River deer license. So even though, as a deer hunter, we have the opportunity to put our names in both East River and West River year in and year out, we're not drawing both East River and West River year in and year out based on these statistics here. Moving on then, and actually before I move on, you do have a handout in front of you. It's with a pie chart. And this pie chart represents some of the numbers I just went over, but it really illustrates where that 3,500 number comes from, or that actually it's 3,857 number comes from, of additional deer hunters that could be participating that were on the sidelines the previous year under the current system. Essentially, a lot of these things I just covered, but 68% of our deer hunters are one-season applicants. That means 32% are two-season applicants. So this, where the rubber really meets the road, is we have 3,583 deer hunters that get two or more licenses on any given year. That equates to 7,440 licenses that go to 3,583 deer hunters. And that is essentially where that then 3,857 number comes from. Those would be the licenses that would potentially go to somebody new that didn't get a deer license under our current system. However, there are 97 of those licenses are considered antlerless licenses, and they're not probably preferred licenses, so we could subtract them off the top because I don't see somebody putting them as their first choice, first draw, because there are 97 folks that did so that put in for two or more applications. So that would then lower that number to 3,760 desirable deer licenses that could potentially be available to somebody that was unsuccessful under our current system. Get those folks off the sidelines, get those deer licenses in the hands of somebody that doesn't already have a deer license. That's the concept behind all of this. If there's further questions on this pie chart, and I think this illustrates things very well, just wanted to have it in front of you, please let Tony or I know, or any of our staff, and we'd be happy to answer them. Now, getting back into some of the more specific questions you asked about yesterday regarding non-residents, and when those licenses are pooled under our current system. Under our current system today, deer licenses are pooled and made available for residents and non-residents after the second draw. So in the third draw today, whatever is left over from the resident allocation is made available to non-residents. So in 2018, actually, this is 2018 data, hot off the press, we're looking at essentially 187 licenses that were pooled and made available to both residents and non-residents went to non-residents that were antlered licenses. Prefix type 11 is an any whitetail license. It's a single any whitetail. An 18 is an any whitetail plus an antlerless whitetail. An 01 is actually an any deer tag. We did have four leftover any deer tags available for non-residents to pick up in that pooled draw. We had one East River unit where there was non-resident licenses available. There was 28 of them, Buffalo County, and that was an any whitetail plus an any antlerless whitetail. So overall, in 2018, after the second draw, when those residents had an opportunity to pick up those licenses, 187 of those pooled licenses went to non-residents that were antlered licenses. Looking at antlerless, we have approximately 554. I know the text is small here, but the list is long. And you can see the different units. We have a good amount of West River units, a good amount of East River units, that leftover licenses after the second draw under our current system today went to non-residents that were pooled and made available to both residents and non-residents. Any questions on those two tables? So one of the things, you know, we talked about yesterday was potentially to limit non-resident opportunity even further. Make it even, separate the divide between allowing residents even a greater chance at picking up more leftovers and giving residents a greater chance to really pick through those licenses before non-residents had a chance to obtain one or even more than one license. So under the proposal that was voted upon a couple months ago and that was in front of the Interim Rules Review Committee in November, non-resident licenses were made available after the third draw or pooled after the third draw. That didn't make, wasn't very clear on that. So what, I'll emphasize that again. So under the current proposal, non-resident licenses or all leftover licenses would be pooled and made available to residents and non-residents after the third draw. And again, that is different than our current system. Today, we pool resident and non-resident licenses after the second draw. The current proposal pools non-resident and resident licenses after the third draw. Now, if you wanted to take this one step further, what the commission could potentially do is to bump that pooling of those leftover licenses until after the fourth draw. It would essentially give residents another opportunity to pick up additional, in this case, five more additional licenses before those licenses are pooled and made available to non-residents. And that would be something the commission could definitely consider here today. Moving on to some of the youth draw enhancements or the youth discussion that we've had yesterday, Commissioner Olson requested some additional data here. And looking at, you know, how many folks applied for a youth license in 2017, I'm going to go to that real quick, and I'll come back to that other one. In 2017, we had 3,590 youth hunters that in some time in the year they applied, they were 15 or younger. So they could have been 15 on July 1st, but turned 16 on July 2nd, or not July 1st, January 1st, and turned 16 on January 2nd, or 16 on January 2nd. Therefore, within the calendar year they applied, they were at least 15 years of age at one day or more. So that's how we broke the data out, being that they were at least 15 years of age within the calendar year they applied at least one day. Because it's hard to draw a line and a cutoff to just say past July 1st or past January 1st or something to that extent. So 3,590 youth hunters that fit that age criteria. 57% of those folks drew a first choice, first draw license. And if you break this down even further, we had about 1,157 youth hunters less than 13 years of age when they applied for one of those four seasons. 53% drew a license. And you can see here the draw probabilities start going down even more when they're first-time applicants. So these would be 12-year-olds, essentially, that were first-time applicants. They had about a 46% draw success for a first draw, first-choice license. We do have, out of the 33,589 youth deer hunters that meet the age criteria I just identified, they did submit 4,704 applications. So 75% of these 3,589 youth hunters submit one application on an annual basis. 2018 numbers look very, very close to this, and I have them quantified, but the only reason I didn't throw them up there is because I wanted to compare draw statistics from 17 of the overall draw versus what the youth are seeing for their draw statistics. This top table here is looking at just youth draw statistics for these four seasons. The number of unsuccessful applicants, the number of successful applicants, and the total number of applicants for each season. There's their draw success for for each season. You can even see muzzleloaders down of 4%. If you're a youth less than 16 years of age, you have a 4% chance of drawing a muzzleloader tag, a 23% chance of drawing a Black Hills deer tag, and so forth and so on. Now, if you compare that then to the overall draw statistics, this would be all folks within those seasons and those draws, you can see that youth do have a disadvantage. They are drawing tags at a little less of a rate. In this case, East River in the overalls, 59, youth 56. West River, 56, youth 53. Black Hills deer is substantial difference. 23% success as a youth, 30% as the general draw. And then 13% for muzzleloader and 4% for those youth. So to address that decrease in draw probabilities for those youth hunters, that, you know, Commissioner Phillips, Commissioner Olson brought to the table a potential amendment that could look at all first-time youth hunters slash applicants age 15 or younger during the calendar year of the drawing would be granted a bonus preference point when an application is submitted for any of the four limited draw deer seasons during the combined drawing. Essentially, any first-time applicant that's under that criteria for that age threshold would be granted a bonus point, a bonus preference point. And how that would work, so I have a couple examples here just to run through. A first-time youth hunter applying for a West River deer license at 12 years of age would receive one preference point for just submitting an application. If unsuccessful, they would receive an additional point for being unsuccessful and have two for the following year. So as a 13-year-old then, when they're submitting that application as a 13-year-old, they would have two instead of just one going into that year. It's essentially trying to increase their draw probabilities, trying to give those youth a better chance of drawing their first license, essentially. If the youth hunter submitted a preference point application for West River deer when they were 10 and 11, and this was a recent change starting in July 1st of this year, 2018, youth applicants can now purchase preference points at 10 years of age and 11 years of age. They can't apply for the season, but they can get a preference point. So this plays a role, a big role. At age 12 then, when they are eligible to submit an application for a West River deer license, they would have 3 points going into the draw. They'd have one for being 10, one for being 11 if they applied for it, and then they'd have a bonus point as a 12-year-old for submitting that application. So if they're unsuccessful as a 12-year-old, going in as a 13-year-old, they'd have 4 points. So it would really increase the number of points in a bit exponentially to try to get them first in line, to get them a preferred deer license as quick as and soon as possible. The bonus preference point would only be granted to those first-time youth applicants. So once they use that bonus and they obtain that bonus point, they would not obtain another bonus point from thereafter. It'd be a one-time bonus point for those youth, and that would increase their odds of getting their preferred deer license. Another part of that, those preference points, the preference point fee, I should say, for the limited draw deer licenses in the combined drawing for those four seasons would be free. For any hunter that is or was age 15 or younger during the calendar year when the preference point is acquired. Essentially, the department would waive the fee for those preference points for the age-eligible applicants for those youth. And that's simply so, you know, the purchase of those points doesn't deter youth from applying for a deer license. Those licenses or those preference points would be free. The licenses would still be the same price, but the preference to obtain those licenses would be free and waived by the department. And that's all I have for those potential changes, and I'm going to turn it over to Tony here. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer anything at this time.
Mr. Chairman, would you like me to go through the action sheet in front of you first, or would you stop? Like to stop and
do questions? Let's see if there's any questions. So far, and then we'll talk about action.
Okay, let's go to the action sheet that you have in front of you. This action sheet articulates the changes that Kevin just described to you and that we worked with, again, Commissioners Phillips and Olson on formulating. The bulk of these changes that you see on the action sheet are the same as what you adopted in Deadwood in October. It creates the combined deer drawing for those four deer seasons, Black Hills, East River, West River, and muzzleloader deer hunting seasons. It also spells out the process that would be used to allocate opportunity to draw leftover licenses. The one change that would be incorporated here is when those resident and non-resident licenses are pooled for leftover license drawings. Under the adopted rules from the October meeting in Deadwood, that pooling would have occurred before the fourth drawing for these licenses for these four seasons. This change, or this proposal, would change that to occurring after the fourth drawing. So this would be the point at which resident hunters had the opportunity to get multiple licenses for each of those four seasons prior to allowing non-residents to pick up their first license. So in essence, a resident could get a total of up to 9 licenses before those licenses that were originally allocated just for residents were opened up to non-residents to acquire those licenses. It will shift additional licenses from non-residents into residents' pockets, certainly based on the statistics, again, that Kevin just provided to you. Another similarity into your previously adopted rule changes would be that preference points could be used in leftover drawings should an applicant decide to use those. On to those two changes then pertaining to youth. You'll see number 4 under the recommended change here is that preference points for a combined deer drawing shall be issued without cost for any hunter that is or was 15 or younger during the calendar year when the preference point is acquired. This is something we had to give some thought to, because, you know, we thought, well, if they apply and they meet the age requirement, then they should go ahead and get the waived fee. But then we run into this situation of what day do we open up for applications? Is it just before or just after a 15-year-old's birthday? And so we would disqualify some individuals from qualifying for the removal of the fee just by virtue of when we happen to allow applications to be received. So we thought the most definitive point to put this into place would be if they were 15 at any time during that year in which that preference point is earned, that they would qualify for the waiver of the fee. As Kevin described, at any time if they were 15 during that year, they would qualify for that waiver of the fee. And also under those same criteria, being 15 at any point during the year, the first time that they put in an application for one of these combined license drawings, the first time they put in that application, they would receive a bonus preference point. And again, that would be for free, but they would have that additional preference point added to their acquired points if they had some going in, and that would contribute to their increase in their drawing success. I turn to Commissioner Olson and ask if feel like we've captured some of the essence of what we discussed yesterday during the commission meeting and afterwards, and certainly entertain any additional adjustments that you feel might be necessary here.
Sure. Yeah, Commissioner Olson, I was confident that we had attained our goal, which was to increase the opportunity for hunters to reach their preferred license 2 months ago when we passed it. Obviously, with the Legislative Rules Committee not siding with us at the time, I think that it's only prudent that we go back and try to look at ways that we can enhance it. You know, at the end of this month, it'll be 3 years since I was appointed to this commission, and the very first statement I ever made as part of the announcement of me being appointed to the Game Fish Parks Commission is that I wanted to do opportunities to enhance the next generation of South Dakota's hunters and to get them more engaged and more involved. This does that. I mean, we are putting kids first. I mean, who can argue with that? I mean, we're trying to enhance the opportunity for youth to draw. We are putting South Dakota residents ahead of non-residents, which is another one of the complaints that we've heard. And we're waiving the fee, so it isn't about the money anymore. This isn't about the greedy Game Fish and Parks Commission trying to fatten our coffers on the backs of 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids. We want to get them engaged and involved, and I think that this actually captures exactly what I was looking for yesterday. I appreciate it. I mean, you know, you guys, like I said, I was happy and satisfied with the package we voted on down in Yankton, or in Deadwood, excuse me, and I think that this, you know, furthers that, and so I'm fully supportive, and Mr. Chairman, when appropriate, I'd move that, but I'd obviously stand by and hopefully hear from some of our other commissioners as well.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I commend you guys on the work you did in the last few days, and I think it's good work. I think they're good changes. I appreciated the chart you put up there that showed that the youth had a little less chance of drawing than the general public. I was a little surprised by that. I think that's something that needs to be corrected, and I think this corrects that. And I think it's a good addition to the work we've done. I will support these changes.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions or comments? Commissioner Peterson.
I have a question first on number four. If a hunter starts young enough, they probably will acquire those preference points more than one time to use for their chosen hunting experience, then, wouldn't they?
They certainly would, Commissioner Peterson, and any of those preference points that they would acquire under proposed change number four would be acquired free of charge. You know, I think Kevin did show some numbers that there were 4,700 applications for these licenses. So if you tally $5 per application, if they all acquired a preference point, that's $23,500 that we're gonna be bypassing or allowing those applicants to not pay.
And then just to clarify, what happens to those preference points after they pass through the youth stage?
Mr. Chairman, any acquired preference points, regardless of how they were acquired, are retained by the applicant until they are used to acquire a license. So even if they were acquired as a youth and they happen to not apply or were extremely unsuccessful in drawing a license, they would retain those until that applicant utilized those preference points to acquire a license.
On into adult.
On into adult, yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner Phillips. Here, one more question. So if a youth applies for several seasons, they get preference points for each season they apply for.
The recommended changes here, Commissioner Phillips, would pertain only to those four hunting seasons that are in the combined deer drawing: West River deer, East River deer, Black Hills deer, and Muzzleloader deer. So anytime a youth who is or was age 15 or younger seeks a preference point in relation to these four seasons, that preference point would be issued without charge.
The bonus point.
The bonus point also would be issued without charge. But again, it would only come the first time that a youth applies in this combined drawing. So the combined drawing of those four seasons occurs once every year, and the first time that they put in for a license in that drawing, actually say, I want to draw one of those, that would be the year that they get their bonus point in that drawing.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. Commissioner?
Commissioner Peterson, just a comment that as the others have said, and as we, our hope was that we would allocate more opportunities. I've had so many approach me saying it's going to be good that I have the chance to get a license when I hear that someone's gotten three and I didn't get any. It's hard to understand why we have a system that works that way. And so now, again, I feel that we want to give more people opportunity. And then with the youth, we've got to get them out there as we see the declining numbers in our different licenses. We have to find a way to do that. And again, I was approached with some that someone had told me, and we were just sitting together, that their children, they were going to get their preference points in another state because they wouldn't have a chance here in South Dakota. So again, we want to give these opportunities to people in our state. So thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Yes, it clearly gives a boost to our youth hunters in their process of applying for applications. So it's, any other questions or comments? So we do have a proposal in front of us that would make some changes to the current rule. These changes that we would make, we would then allow for public comment on these over the next 30 days.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. Subsequent to any action by the commission, we would initiate the administrative side of the rules promulgation process, including the public notice, filing of rules with the LRC staff, and then schedule a public hearing for January when these adoption of these rules will be considered. It's important to point out that all of the rules, including those previously adopted by the commission, would be included in the notice and the hearing. It's not just those changes that you're making here. Those would be added into addition, those other changes that you adopted before. Because once again, those rules have not been filed with the Secretary of State's office. They've not been finalized. They were reverted back to you, so they need to be a part of this package that would move forward with these additional changes that we discussed this morning.
So the public could comment on any aspect of the proposal.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Any comments? Otherwise, we do have a proposal before us that would bring this proposal back up for public comment in January. And would go through the process again, but it does make some changes here that I think are nice changes to the current proposal. Speaking to our non-residents and their process of attaining license, and also to the youth. So we have a couple of changes here that probably tweak the proposal in a nice way for South Dakota. With that, if there's a motion to bring the proposal forward, I would entertain that at this time.
Second.
Moved by Russ, seconded by Scott Phillips, that we bring the proposal forward. Any other comments before we vote? Seeing none, all that are in favor of the motion would say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed, likewise? It is approved. Okay, thank you.